Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show, the Diva Discussion Series. I have image and dating expert Kimmy Seltzer back. Kimmy, how are you?
I am good. I'm so excited to be back on. Thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness. So am I. And I feel like when I threw it down in the universe as one of my 2022 goals to talk about deep play, I feel like I ended up meeting you and I was looking at all the fun times we've had on and off show. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. I know. Well, and it just shows you like attracts like, right? Like when you're in your playful state, you attract others who are too.
Oh my goodness. And then one time when you and I went out, people were like, have you guys known each other for years? And I'm like, I feel like, yeah. So, and I'm like, I think I know this lady. So you and I were, we've kind of just morphed everything into fun. Like life is the meditation, deep play. We've done Let's Flirt. We've done Boundaries and Breadcrumbs. I've been on your show. Then we went out. And, you know, do you want to, like, you know, I think when you talk about dating and image, you really encourage people to have fun and be like life is the adventure. So do you want to just share about maybe our adventure, like what it was like for you to come to my stomping grounds and how we were checking out the different demographics the nights we went out?
Oh my God. Yes. Well, and it just shows you that it's so important to get out of your bubble. You know, like we kind of go through our daily routine and we go to the same places, same people. And so I love adventuring out to where you are and just seeing like what else is out there. Cause it infuses a new energy and it also creates an opportunity to meet new people, which we did that night. And what I felt like was so fascinating was, for those of you who don't know me, I actually do these wing gal sessions where I go out with people and I help them navigate a room and flirt and meet people and network. And I also shop with people. So I'm kind of like Hitch meets What Not to Wear. It's probably the best references if those of you know who those shows are. So we kind of did our own version, Denise, of our own wing girl session. And I was fascinated, first of all, about just finding a place where our age group hung out. Like, can we just talk about that? Like, you know, a lot of times people think, well, I don't know where to go to meet people. I mean, people are everywhere. You just got to get out and experiment and try new places. So that was the first kind of like hit and lesson for me. I don't know if it was for you.
Well, because this is your, you know, area of expertise, sort of scouting mm-hmm. out different vibes. This is professionally, but we were out personally. So we kind of blended the professional and personal. I learned so much about you when I was out. So when I've been out with you a couple of times, Super Bowl, this, and it's like, I just imagine your mind, you know, you talk about being a dating strategist. I feel like I've now learned the Kimmy Seltzer GPS for dating geographics. Like, oh my God, in my area of the woods, this is the time people go out at this age. And this is, I want to thank you because in your kind of, by the way, we're up both in Southern Cal, everyone. I know that wherever you are in the world, there's going to be different geographic locations where there's different vibes, different experiences. And Kimmy and I were going out. We're both, well, I'm just going to talk about myself. I'm strategically single. So we were just going out as fun. And then where do you hang out? Especially like for me, I'm a professional in my town. So I took you to some different places. We went along to Terranea. And we really kind of explored my bubble, so to speak. And I learned a lot about the way you think and the way you strategize. And I really appreciate, you know, I like to say data is my boyfriend, learning that maybe at your neck of the woods, maybe different age groups go out at different times. And I was like, really? Not in like Manhattan Beach. People stay out late here. Mm-hmm. And then you told me that Newport. So just, do you want to give the broad strokes of what your observations are of the different SoCal geographic locations? And it probably will help some of your new clients, right? Of what you would teach them a bit.
Well, yeah. You know, one of the things that I do with my clients is I create a dating plan for people, kind of like a business plan, right? Like you have to really lay down and be strategic and intentional on where to go because let's face it, if you are over 30, even over 25, I mean, gone are the days of college where you have the infrastructure of your social life. Like you have to create it for yourself. And as you get older, you know, your peer group changes, you know, people who you were friends with who are single get coupled off. So it's really important to find your tribe. And within that, like, where do you go? Because people come to me all the time. They say, I don't know where the men are. I don't know where the women are. Like, what do I do? Where do I go? And so by getting out there and exploring things, and when I put together a plan, and actually I have a workshop coming up that we're going to talk about this a little bit. There's almost like different areas to kind of look at so that you are getting traction, you're meeting people, and you're getting out there. So it's really good to just force yourself even once a week to go to different places and meet new people. I mean, that's how you and I met, Denise. Like, if we didn't go to that networking event, right, you and I never would have met. And then we never would have had that experience, you know, a couple weeks ago. So it's almost like the game Leapfrog. You know, you meet one person that leaps into something else. And I truly believe that dating is about networking.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, I don't know what your understanding of your own neurostyle is, but coming out of the pandemic back in January, it was Omicron. And it was like kind of like we were talking on other shows we've done about being stuck and unstuck. And I've gotten really comfortable in my like new routine, my cocoon. And I love it. I'm actually going to keep a lot of my routine. But I remember telling my mom when I was making that decision to go out to Rock and Brews when Trent Clark, shout out to Trent. I got to make sure we thank Trent. We love you. I'm going to have you on the show. Trent Clark, I'll put the. So basically, when I made that decision, my mom was like relieved that I was going out because she's like, you've been too into being a doctor and a mother. My pendulum can swing really focused on my shows and on my work. Mm-hmm. And so my own self-awareness of my neurostyle was that I needed to have enough momentum to get myself out of my comfort zone. And then I got rewarded because I made the decision. I got to meet you, and it's been a series of unbelievable playful times. So I feel like, is this something you find that when people come to you with dating, that you can kind of give an example that this is sort of a similar pattern for all of us as human beings?
Absolutely. I mean, we get into our comfy cocoon, as you put it. And the thing is that when we stay in comfort, we're not changing, right? Like, we're not shifting, we're not moving. And that's when people stand still, obviously. So, you know, it and the more time that goes on, the harder it is to get out of that black hole. So that's why, like, when I, you know, either whether it's working with a client one-on-one or the class that I just ended, where I actually help everybody put together a plan and had some accountability around, all right, like in the next month, throw things on your calendar to forces you to go out. But then once you know where to go and your intentions are clear and your mission statement is super, super congruent with where you're at, because like you said, Denise, like you're strategically single, like that's super important before you even go out, right? And so once you have that, then as we're out and about, then what, right? Now it's time to talk to people, dun, 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 you know, and that's where we were, navigating.
Okay,
right?
So now let's play, because playful examples. Okay, so just not saying where the geographic location was, but it was a members only in SoCal, and we were kind of at the end of our fun night, and we noticed that there was easy parking. So I was not, in my awareness level, I was not in the hunt mode.
Were not going to go, remember?
No, but because we already had, I felt like we had such a lovely night.
Right.
And then we saw that, dun, 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 there's a parking spot, dun, dun, dun. Should we go?
There was a sign.
Right. There was a sign. We're like, we should go. So I just want everyone to know, going into this kind of spontaneous, what we're going to call the monologue, my spirit was not in a wingale. It wasn't in that flirt because I have different mood states. So I want to make note to everyone that whether you're going out socially, you're about to go on a date, you're about to meet a new friend, check in with your mood state. So I knew I was up for the adventure of going into this new place, but I wasn't in the full throttle flirt mode. I was already content. So I think, don't you think it's really important that people know their mood state or their awareness when they're going out or into a situation?
Oh my God. So important. Well, there's a balancing act with that because, and that was really evident that night, is that sometimes like you just got to honor where you're at. You know, if you're sick or you're not feeling right, like, you know that your energy is going to be low and there's no reason to force yourself. I totally like honor that. But sometimes you got to push yourself too when the opportunity like presents itself, such as a parking spot right in front of a club.
Okay. Right. Let's just get there. I'm jumping to this now. So we're upstairs in this club and Kimmy's like, so what guy's your type? And so it was just fun. We're just having fun. Right. And so we saw the guy that was the type, but by the way, I have many types and we don't have to describe because I don't want to put myself in a box here, but I really normally am a more flirty and I know you can tell my personality is. So that whole situation was fun in itself because you're like, Denise, well, we're here anyways. We might as well just go meet someone. What's that guy up to? And so we really, really kind of, I tapped and I sort of asked, like, I wanted information about the club because I think he was a member and women, you know, women can sort of sneak in. Then you decide if you're going to join or not join. And then we got the scoop from this man that, you know, they need a lot of women at this club. So sometimes you don't even have to pay at all. So we got the scoop, but then we had an interesting, I think I would love for you to talk more about what that conversation was like, because, you know, at a certain time of night, if you're out, maybe someone like you and I were being very mindful of being, we weren't status inebriated. We were, I would say, sober. Like, so, but this man's status was not, he was walking home to his place. So he, good for him that he's out drinking and being safe, but you were able to hear more of his conversation than I was because the stereo was so loud. And we had some observations about this man's neurostyle, or maybe we can even say how you would profile him as a dating archetype. And, you know, God bless him. He like was talking to two women. So we just wanted to use this example just to be fun. So we ended up calling the whole experience the monologue. And Kimmy, take it away.
Well, I think there was one part that we kind of skipped over, and I think it's really important to the story. And this is actually something that I just did a flirt workshop last night, so it's on the top of my mind, is that we wouldn't have been able to talk to him if we didn't position ourselves correctly. So it's one thing to go to a place. It's another thing to talk to someone. But if you are not placing yourself in proximity with people to talk to, it's just not going to happen. So I just remember you and I doing this dance a little bit in the bar, right? Where we were like, okay, so like we gotta stand over here so that we like meet his eye and have like the nonverbals that first connected us. And I just remember him in that odd place where he was against the pole. And it was like, we were against all odds, right? Like it was really kind of tough.
This guy, by the way, this man was giving off the vibe of that he was not in hunt mode. He was actually more into his phone. I mean, there were all these attractive people, music going, and this guy's an attractive man. He's the guy that stands out, the big guy, right? And he was not giving off vibes that he wanted to meet anyone. And I said to you, my style is usually I let the men approach me, but you're like, oh, let's just have fun. So I went out of my comfort zone when I wasn't even in like a hunt flirt mode, but I'm proud of myself because we ended up having a lot of fun, but it was, oh my gosh, like you and I like had so much to unpack after this meeting.
I know we were in shock. But going back to that moment, I think it's important because a lot of times we hesitate, we stop ourselves from having a conversation because we're worried about what other people are doing, thinking, feeling. And that's when things don't happen. So like if we read his body language, for all intents and purposes, he didn't look available or even
at all.
Approachable, you know?
At all. No. So, he looked like he was the king of his own castle.
That's right.
Saying, and I'm flirting with someone online or I'm checking the sports stats. I mean, this guy was not having it. He was not. Well, it's like he was just there on routine or something.
Yeah. And for me, I never really like worry about that because often people are doing that because they're bored and they have nothing else to do, right? So I always say, you know, let that person say no. You know, because if he didn't want to talk, he wouldn't talk. Like, but if we don't.
But then what happened? Okay, you guys. Right. Once I asked the question and he started talking to both of us, he, instead of being absorbed in his phone, became very conversational, Kimmy, right?
Yes. And it was a very funny interaction to me. So, you know, we started talking to him and he engaged, right? And he started talking and he continued to talk. And then after 10 minutes, I think he was still talking. And I don't even remember a pause, quite honestly. I think, and then you couldn't hear, you know, really what he was saying. So I felt like I was the interpreter at some point. So instead of really even me talking about me, I felt like either I was the interpreter or the listener. But we then quickly like saw that he was what we termed as the monologuer, because like he just kept going on and on and on. And so it was interesting because I think, you know, again, like I'm a therapist, you know, you're a psychiatrist. We could diagnose this guy, you know, in the DSM-5 till the cows come home. But really, it's not about diagnosing. It was just about understanding what that interaction was about and how it was landing for the two of us. So, you know.
Can I jump in and say something? That's why I came up with the word neurostyle, because it's non-judgmental. I mean, let's face it, good for him that he was conversing with us. So you and I gave him tons of credit, good-looking guy, professional. And I just want to compliment you, Kimmy. Kimmy is the master of just throwing out one-liners to keep him going. So like she was so attentive and I couldn't hear everything he was saying. So I when I can't hear the full conversation, I don't want to just say something just to say something. So it was really fun for me because you're so outgoing and charismatic, as am I. It's nice for me, anyone that knows me, be like, oh my God, Denise was taking a back seat. Oh my God, right? So it's fun for me to do that with you, to see your style. And then, you know, everyone, this man could have been a little bit shy. There could have been a little bit too much alcohol, which is what we think, because there were some slurring words. And so the other thing too is when we have first impressions of all of us, whether, you know, you said the DSM, I mean, he could have anxiety. He could just be a fun, good-looking guy that drank a little too much, or he could be so full of himself. I mean, there's multiple reasons. You know, I'm sure I've done monologues before, you've done monologues, but we just had a blast calling it the monologue. And we learned a lot. And we also learned about some dating biases about age group that just came up in conversation, which I thought was really, really interesting when he was talking about his upcoming, we don't even need to say what age party, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, like, and what really kind of hit me too is how this relates to dating overall, because, you know, a lot of times people come back from a date and say, oh, like, he was just full of himself. He didn't ask me anything, you know? And then I asked the person, well, did you insert yourself? Like, did you contribute to the conversation? And a lot of times that doesn't happen. And so sometimes we misinterpret an interaction and chalk it up to, oh, well, he's an ass, or, you know, like whatever that is. And I think that first impressions, as you say, are so powerful. I teach this formula. It's called the social engagement formula. And it's really important as you move into conversations, how you move a conversation from facts to feelings. And then you see how like people interact with you. But like you and I, we walked away from that conversation. Like, you know, you went from being attracted to him just physically to, wow, like what just happened? You know, based on just that interaction. And I think it's really important to pull in and like to pay attention to all these factors as you're meeting people.
No, absolutely. And there was a time where it was a very appropriate pause of what he was saying. And I waited strategically when I could finally hear. And I said something that was really meaningful. And this situation, this man didn't know how to take the bite. In fact, he kind of, I mean, I just found it really great to have you there to talk about, because it was a really, you know, he wasn't allowing, like, let's say you're profiling and you're talking to someone that you're coaching and they go out and they're on a date now with someone that was kind of like the monologue or the situation. Yeah. And then you ask your client, or I ask someone that's talking to me in my office, well, did you try to get a word in, or did you try? And I did. And then we got data that he wasn't into to and fro conversation. So
that's right.
So then you have to ask yourself, is that a pink flag, a red flag? And then you have to look at the environment. Was it late at night? Was there alcohol involved? And then, like, if someone's doing a dating circuit and there was flirting before, were they attentive in asking you about yourselves? I feel like you need to build the story before you jump. Like, there can be episodes of monologue behavior, but then other times where they recover on another date or something.
Yes, yes. And I think it's important to look at your own patterns and who you're getting attracted to also. Like, I'll give you an example. I was coaching a client and she had a history of getting into relationships with narcissists. You know, I mean, I hate diagnoses, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, this was kind of her pattern, right? And part of the problem was that she never really shared much about herself, you know, when she said hello, when, you know, but also there were other things like from her family history that kind of was tied into that. So when we went out, it was fascinating to see, you know, in walked this guy who was really good looking, charismatic, just, you know, was funny, started talking, but he became the monologuer. Like, he really did. And she just kind of sat there and smiled and waved and laughed and said nothing. And so he went to the bathroom and she looked at me and she said, "Oh my gosh, he's great, right?" I said, "Fascinating. So what's great about him?" And she was like, "Oh, well, he's so charismatic and he's good looking and I loved his outfit." And so she was getting kind of caught up in the shiny object. And see, that's where the pattern started surfacing. I said, "I have a question. What does he know about you?" Mm-hmm. And she just paused. And she said, "Well, nothing. I guess I didn't share anything or he didn't ask me anything." I said, "Right. So when he comes back, I want you to start talking about you and share a story and just see what happens. Like you said, collect data." So he comes back and she starts telling a little story about something that happened. He is looking around. He doesn't really listen. And he turns the conversation back onto himself. And it was like this light bulb went off for her. She's like, "Wow, like that's my pattern. Like I keep getting caught up in the shiny object. And I haven't been paying attention enough about how people show up for me." And from there on out, like that was our journey together and helping her express herself more, finding her voice. Because, right, like we can't change these other people. All we can do is look at our own patterns, our own neurostyle, as you say, and perhaps get a different result from the things that we learn about us.
You just said so much. And what I just wrote down, I like to write my style as listening carefully. And I want to talk about alpha males, beta males, submissive, dominant women. And I'm talking in styles, not in the bedroom right now, just so everyone I know. Just we can do that another time, but just to be playful. So There is, I want to say that there's everything's shades of gray. So there's, we all have to have what's called, if you look up the term healthy narcissism versus unhealthy, to me, words, thoughts, and actions carry a vibrational frequency. And if you were to listen to just one line of our show, it could be misinterpreted. So I want to unpack what's tricky. And Kimmy, I know you can do a deep dive on this, is if you're a female that's successful and knows what they want, or you're a male that knows what he wants, because maybe men get attracted to the borderline personality women, or we can kind of have a discussion of what is the shades of being a healthy alpha and or self-esteem that's confident and doing the appropriate to and fro and reciprocal communication. Because most really successful people have to have a level of self-confidence, but then they need to have a level of self-awareness to their own neuro style. So can we just talk about this? Because I think there are people that are definitely alpha females, alpha males, and maybe they are, because I'm very loquacious. I know there's times when I'm sure I've done the monologue. I mean, have you ever done a monologue?
No, never. I think I just did actually about 10 seconds ago, but
right. So I want to also model to everyone that Kimmy and I are being flexible and we're trying not to judge. We're trying to almost encourage you to be aware of your own style and try to like ascend past any patterns that don't serve you, but also realize that some people are very powerful and they have healthy narcissism and they do pause and they do ask you about yourself.
Yeah, it and it's so important because it can look the same too sometimes. It can be really confusing. And I think there's a difference between confidence, right? Like in being just truly comfortable in your body and having that alpha energy, as you said, but in a healthy way that's still empathic towards other people and then you know, and that kind of thing, versus one that is more it's almost like covert, like it looks like confidence, but it's more ego-driven in ways of covering up an insecurity. It's actually the opposite of confidence. And that's what can be really insidious. And I don't know if you find this too, Denise, but like it in the beginning, a lot of people feel like the charismatic alpha energy is confidence. But as you get to know people, as you get to know, you know, right, you can't judge upon that first impression. I mean, actions do speak louder than words. And when you like really kind of take that data collection, as you know, I it's so funny that you use that word too, because I call it data dating. When you have the time to really collect all that data, that's when you're going to start making, you know, some conclusions for yourself. And I think, you know, again, like there's so many nuances and differences in when somebody's, you know, just confident versus ego-driven or narcissistic, that you have to really like understand it and see the difference between that. I wrote an article in the HuffPost, I think it was Narcissist Busters from the Minute You Say Hello. And I went over like five different like things that you can look for, you know, and we don't have to go into all of them, but one of them,
you can send me the link, but I'd love to hear it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just let's go for it.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I say is like, does that person's actions meet his words or her words, you know, because a lot of times the monologuers are the ones that are really like, you know, good at pontificating. It's a lot of words and it seems real, but then their actions say otherwise. So when there's incongruency with actions and words, that's a pink flag for sure. Like that would be one of them. I don't know. Do you want to go into another? Cause I know you know this too.
I know, but I just want to honor and say, it's exciting for me to talk with you as I keep getting to know you on and off show, that so much of what we're talking about is integrity. And we've talked about awareness, self-love, and then I like to say altruism. So to me, the sign of any healthy relationship is where words, thoughts, and actions match up. And I say in integrity. And then you're in integrity to yourself and someone else. And so someone can be highly successful, very conversational, but they're so interested in you as well. They know themselves and they're fine to tell the story, but it's just kind of like exciting. And to me, it's exciting when I hear you dive in from a dating perspective, but I love universal truths, that what we're talking about really applies to work relationships, family relationships, dating. So I love hearing your words. So you can share more, but I think I just kind of mirrored back and said, yay, Kimmy, I get it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I just don't want to be the monologuer just now. So that's why I asked for your...
Yes, but see, that's actually good. You guys, this is a tip for everyone.
Right.
One of my... a lot of my girlfriends, we get so excited on the phone that we actually just let each other do monologues because we have so much to say. And then we're like, okay, now it's your turn. So the other thing about it is, instead of just calling it the monologue, if you have an awareness... I even did this in a business meeting. I'm like, okay, I know I need to pass the talking stick, or like if you, like if you know you're outgoing and you talk a lot, which I know I do, it's nice to call yourself out on it and show you have self-awareness that you actually care about what other people think, that maybe you get so passionate in the moment, but then you do what I call like, you go like a pause and then you do turn taking. So the other thing about it is not judging yourself, being aware, and then sharing someone else, like, this is that you have insight. I think people think it's fun when you can kind of, oh gosh, I just did my monologue. But then that's different than someone that's on the narcissistic unhealthy, because someone has a realization that they want to do a turn take.
You know, I also want to say something about that too, is that a lot of times people monologue because they're nervous,
yes,
right?
Like, yes.
And so if there's another person who's a little more shy and the monologuer is going on, it could just be out of that nervousness because the other person's not saying anything, or they're trying to impress that person because they feel like they have to. So they're kind of like advertising themselves, and it's not coming from a place of ego, but more from a place of, hey, like, I like you and I just want you to know more about me. And they simply forget to like ask. Or here's another reason. Some people are not okay with silence.
Correct. Correct.
And so a lot of people monologue to fill in the silence.
Correct.
And sometimes silence is the most powerful thing of all in a conversation. Can be sexy too, you know, and just using nonverbals to communicate. So it's not all just what we say. It's how we present that is part of the conversation too. So I just want to mention that.
Kimmy, before, when I was filling my coffee before we were going to do this show, I was thinking about the things you just said about having like some mild social anxiety and just filling up space to fill up space. So this is a why we really wanted to break down the monologue. And I'd love to end sort of on like a fun flirty note, because I think we covered a lot. When you just talked about nonverbal cues, I just thought about, and then I can't wait because you have all the data on this with dating. So I just want to like free flow and then you can, you know, you can just tap someone on the shoulder. You can lean in if you're on a date and whisper in their ear. You can hand the drink in a playful way. I mean, there's so many ways to connect that are playful and flirty to sort of take the edge off of any anxiety you might be feeling on a date.
100%. I mean, talk about data, like it's 93% of communication is nonverbal. I mean, that's crazy if you think about it. So, I mean, a lot of people get in their head, like, I don't know what to say, but really the way that you present, your smile, your eye contact, a touch, being close to someone can be sometimes more meaningful than any words that you can say. So yeah, like that's huge. And that's why that's part of when I teach flirting, I talk about body language as being one of the most important aspects. I mean, that really gives the signals to people, hey, I'm open for business. My cab light is on, you know, and you're approachable. That's why that guy, going back to our story, his nonverbals were saying, like, don't talk to me. Right. And so if he
that's why I felt like you were throwing me over the plank, like you and I were playing. You're like, Denise, go say hello. And I'm like, I don't really want to.
I know. Remember?
And it's like, totally, he just looks like hot eye candy. I was like, no, I think I'll just have a hot eye candy moment where I'm talking with you. Cause I remember I was not, I was kind of ready for our night to end. I have insight and awareness. I wasn't in what I would call my Lamborghini mode. I had different modes, and I was in the, oh my God, I had such a good time with Kimmy mode. We're checking out. We were also, you know, I'm a rule follower, FYI. So, and you were like, even though I like to break the rules too, we were in a place that was members only, and you're like, oh, Denise, come on. Like, they're going to buy us drinks. Like, so it was fun for me with you. And by the way, I have been there. I'm the one who took you there. So I have broken the rules before. But even going into a situation, I was like, dun, dun, dun. Are we breaking the rules? Dun, dun, dun. The guy does not look like he wants to say hello. Dun, dun, dun. And then you're like, Denise, we are here. We might as well just have fun. So I feel like you and I, you know when you're little kids and you do like ding dong ditch?
Yeah.
I literally felt like you were like pushing me and I was going to go ring a doorbell and run.
I mean, that's exactly. I was ready to teepee. I mean, at that point. And I'm so glad we're like kind of ending on this like fun note, because like even with all the other things that we just said, in order to create opportunities for yourself, sometimes you got to be a little daring. You got to be a little spontaneous. I just want to tell a quick story of a client that I coach, because this is exactly what I did with her. I can be a little daring, but you know, to an extent, obviously.
Well, no. Wait, can I just, before you tell the story?
Oh, yeah.
You guys, I'm having so much fun with Kimmy. I just want you to know that, everyone. So find people you can have fun with. The doctor's orders. Play. Okay, yeah, tell your story.
I love
story.
That prescription. Anyway, it's really quick. We were trying to look for a place to go, and I'm never really truly have an agenda when I'm with a client. Like, I kind of feel into what that person's about, their vibe, their energy, and like what place might work. And we passed this place that was packed, and it looked like there was like a party going on. And I'm like, ooh, let's go here. And she's like, well, I think it's a private party. I said, well, we're not going to know unless we go. And so we walk in, and sure enough, it was a private party. And I just kind of taught her how to navigate the room, and we found the person who was leading it. And it turned out it was like a networking party for a business, and it was actually good that we crashed, and they bought us drinks, and it was fun. That night, the woman, because I was teaching her just, again, kind of like what we were doing, like a mini version, but I really was helping her just feel comfortable talking to people. She ended up meeting this guy, and that guy ended up being her long-term boyfriend. I think they're still together today. And, you know, been daring, right, and crashed the party and did a little bit of rule breaking, that never would have happened. So I just want to kind of end with that, you know, don't worry so much about what other people think or feel. Just go after what you want, and the environment and people will let you know whether that is an opportunity or not.
Oh, I love that. Oh my goodness. Okay. So Kimmy Salzer, tell us where everyone can find you.
Yes, Dr. Denise.
By the way, she makes fun of me because I like to add everyone's last name. She noted that, because you know what? Sometimes I know three people with the same first name, so I like to delineate. So I get some satisfaction on saying Kimmy Salzer. Where can everyone find you?
There's only one Kimmy Salzer. Come on now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure there's many. How narcissistic of me. Yes, I can be found at kimmysalzer.com, and all my social handles are at Kimmy Salzer. It's Kimmy Salzer, like the water. And I also have a podcast, which Dr. Denise was on, called The Charisma Quotient. And can I mention a workshop I have coming up? Because it kind of relates to what we're talking about. Yeah, May 11th, I am doing a workshop for women. And sorry, men, I do ones for men, but this one just so happens to be for women. And it's called Dating Secrets Decoded. And we are just going to kind of break down like your dating habits, and you're going to also find out what your dating archetype is. And I talk about my proven method to dating and flirting, and really help you create a mission statement so that you have a plan that works for you. And if you're interested in that, I can give you the link, Dr. Denise. You can also go to askkimmy.com, and you can just, you know, say, hey, I'm interested in that, and I'll send you the link. So hope to see you there.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks, everyone. Make sure to play. And it's okay if you do an occasional monologue.